Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Firefly Funhouse is back. Let's talk about it. I'm Tempest. That is Sat E. Nyangi. Here on Sat E. Day, we are the House of the Black Mask.
House of the Black Mask. What time is it?
What time is it?
It's Sat E. time on Sat E. Day.
Yeah. So, what do we have to talk about on this fine Sat E Day? We have to talk about Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And more specifically, the return of an old Bray Wyatt. Because on this episode of SmackDown, we had LA Knight coming out and cutting a pretty typical good LA Knight promo.
Yeah.
Saying that Bray Wyatt should have gone back and lived check to check on his past glory, but at the Royal Rumble, he's going to show that those checks don't mean squat. That Bray Wyatt can't figure out who he is. That one week he's not Uncle Howdy. Last week, he is Uncle Howdy. He is him. What is it? He doesn't care. Royal Rumble, Mountain Dew, such and such. He goes and wrestles a local competitor. Halfway through this very short match, the screen flickers and you get the Wyatt 6 logo thing, and he doesn't let it distract him too much. He hits the blunt force trauma, gets the win, and then afterwards, we get the return of the Firefly Funhouse. This is very interesting. Of course, all the puppets are covered in dust. They've been left for a long time. Bray Wyatt banters back and forth with the rabbit and it's the puppets. You know the Firefly Funhouse shtick. And Bray Wyatt caps off this segment by saying that LA Knight was the one that opened the door, but he is going to be the one that's responsible for whatever comes through it. And in this, we get a cut splice in between of Uncle Howdy talking about some stuff. What did you make of all this, Sat?
Okay, I wasn't sure how to feel because I'm not a huge fan of people going back.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he cut the promo saying that LA Knight opened the door, it's kind of like the thing we've been talking about for months with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt came back as a regular folk, as a regular person. His whole demeanor is like a person that's in recovery from addiction of something. He's just trying to reform his past ways. But it seems like Uncle Howdy, and most importantly, LA Knight have pushed him to the brink of going back to his old self. So that is Bray Wyatt saying, he's like, I've tried my best to be a regular person. You pushed me to it. So now I have to embrace the darkness. So revel in what you are. For months, Uncle Howdy has been saying, revel in what you are. Bray Wyatt is taking advice because he's had enough. He's going to revel in the darkness. So let's see if that pays off in pitch black. And then you had Uncle Howdy saying, I told you so. Again, he's like the devil on Bray Wyatt's shoulder, manifesting into an actual person.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really know what to make of this whole thing either, because I agree. I'm not as big a fan of the character seemingly going backwards to something that we've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I haven't really known what to make of much of this run from Bray Wyatt. I don't know exactly what the character is at this point. I don't know if the first few months that we sat through are now kind of like a moot point. It's like, oh, well, now he's back to being Bray.
Are we going
to see the Fiend come out next? Are we going to see more of a crossover with that old side of himself? I don't know. I was kind of hoping that the darkness or whatever of Bray was going to be something new as opposed to something old. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this plays out, but
Don't worry, I don't think he's going to be Firefly Bray Wyatt from now on. I think I use addiction as the metaphor here. It's kind of like taking a swig of vodka. You're like, there you go, see? I've taken a drink, you know? Then that's it. I think he's going to tap into other parts of his persona for different feuds or if needs be. I think it was his way of saying, see, I've done it. Look, I've tapped into my dark side. You're happy now? Now I'm going to give you what you guys have been wanting, the thing I've been avoiding. So I think we're still going to get, because he debuted new music for a reason. So don't worry. Don't be like, he's not going to come out with, wait, if he does come out with Firefly Bray Wyatt, is it just so he can lose to LA Knight and then have a rematch at Elimination Chamber? That may be it. No, but I assume that it was just it's like a message. The Firefly Funhouse is a physical manifestation of him sending a message saying that he is going back to the dark side, which is to tap into different characters, which is what he did during the pandemic. He, you know, cult leader Bray Wyatt came back for a bit in a feud against Braun Strowman, mm-hmm. which people want to forget, is a theme that he started doing, which is he taps into different parts of his personality. So I think it was just for that one night only. The reason why we can't judge this storyline is because we haven't seen a match yet. Because that's the most important thing. What happens in the ring? When the bell rings, when all the promos and the bells and whistles and the music is, you know, done, the hushed tone, the silence, are the fans going to cheer? Is it going to be a great match? I think we can only judge this after the Rumble. That's what I feel.
I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to disagree because, you know, it is better to look at something as a whole when it is completed and mm-hmm. look at it in hindsight with, you know, hindsight being 2020 and everything. At the same time, it has been 4 months. And you take what you can with that. But this, to me, was very interesting. I wasn't expecting the return of the Firefly Funhouse on this week's show. I was never, like, the biggest Bray Wyatt fan when he was doing this character. Like, the intro in the first few months of the Firefly Funhouse I found very interesting because it was like a deconstruction of WWE's, you know, mythos that had to do with Bray Wyatt, with, you know, the puppets were the characters and he was talking a lot about, you know, in code but with Vince McMahon and different things, and it was very interesting. It was kind of a look a lot deeper than we usually got with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I expect this character now to be. So it then just does kind of go back to the Mr. Rogers Bray that I wasn't a fan of, you know, which was after the debut when the Fiend kind of just became this, you know, this super slasher movie villain, and Uncle Howdy or the Mr. Rogers Bray was just his alter ego.
Yes.
I was getting more of a vibe of that from this than the actual interesting part of the character that I actually did enjoy. And I just don't know anymore. I don't want to be a stick in the mud when it comes to Bray Wyatt and Bray Wyatt related things, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling this run so far.
I think that was done on purpose. Even when he was doing Firefly Funhouse, you can tell he's a bit rusty doing it, right? He's interacting with the puppets. He's a bit like, you know, even like the whole his butt crack was kind of showing. It's kind of like, it's been a while. I'm going back into it. And what I liked in the end, that's what the ending for me saved the whole thing. Because I was like you, I wasn't sure. I was like, that's interesting. But then again, that was the last iteration of the guy we saw before. Because it's kind of like, maybe, you know, when the Rotunda reads the tweets, maybe he's like, oh, these promos, maybe some people are saying, oh, I miss it when you used to do, you know, interesting things. It's kind of like, hey, this is the last thing you guys, you know, had from me. And then he did that direct promo. That for me saved it, because he said, see, you did this. And he put on the voice. And then he went, bye. You know, he dropped the it's kind of like those brief moments was the real Bray Wyatt letting you know that this is not what he wants to do. This is what he's been pushed into. So for me, it was like, oh, okay, I'm still with it. I'm still with it, because the real Bray Wyatt, I like the direct speech, because when he's talking in rhythm, I'm like, I like the new Bray. I like the fact he talks normal, and I think it's the Riddles thing. It gives you PTSD. I think seeing that character is giving you PTSD to how his last run went. But I don't think he's gonna be Firefly Bray in terms of in the match. It was just, again, he's gonna go to the dark side, revel in what he is.
It'll be interesting. We don't know what we're gonna get at the Royal Rumble in any sense.
No.
Whether the character or the match or anything. We don't know what we're about to see. It's just curious. I don't know. I think, again, I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I think I would have booked this version of Bray Wyatt's character a little bit differently. And I don't think necessarily putting off that first match for a longer period of time was so much of a mistake, because that is one of the things that Luke and I theorized they could do while we were sitting here talking about the return of Bray Wyatt and how great the Extreme Rules ending was and everything like that. So I'm not going to go back and say that the thing that I pitched is a bad idea, because I was saying do his first match at WrestleMania and just whatever, stuff like that, build it up.
Mm.
But at the same time, for the character that we have now seen over the last 4 months, I would have probably preferred to see Bray actually take steps towards being what he wants to be, like keeping the darkness in. Because you know that meme that everyone shares where it's just like it's the door closed and the latch is just like a Cheeto through it? I feel like that was Bray Wyatt's mental state as a performer coming back and all this. Like, I don't feel like that much happened to push him over the edge. Like, he got slapped by a heel and he snapped and tried to kill LA Knight, or Uncle Howdy tried to kill LA Knight, whatnot. You saw the crazy look in his eyes when that segment happened. Yeah. The Uncle Howdy stuff, I think, is good as like that tempting thing that pushes him. But I don't know. I think there's a bit of a disconnect, and this might just be me, of seeing Bray Wyatt trying to be better.
Yeah.
Versus actually, like, saying he's trying to be better.
Yeah.
Versus actually trying to be better.
Yeah.
We saw like a one or two segments of him like trying to make amends with LA Knight and everything.
But LA Knight wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it, and that's fine. He's a heel and everything. I get that. But I didn't see any of Bray Wyatt successfully being better.
True.
He tried once or twice, but over 4 months, if this is a brand new character, I need to see a change in him rather than like the first thing be like, well, I guess I'm going to be evil again.
You think the struggle wasn't really there? You didn't see him like, at least like, you never know. Maybe in the Firefly Funhouse match, maybe in the Pitch Black Mountain Dews Pitch Black match, maybe you may see the struggle there. LA Knight could, I'm starting to think there is actually more of a chance of LA Knight actually winning this match.
Could well happen.
But at the same time, it's quite hard because Bray should win, but I wouldn't mind LA Knight winning because I've found LA Knight the most entertaining part of this feud, because throughout everything he's been through, he's still talking crap. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm finding his character really endearing on the main roster. I've always loved the character, but I'm watching this version through new people's lens. This guy is not backing down. This guy, you know, he's not running away spooked. I think that's what's making the feud really great. I think had he been cowering, I would have hated this feud. But it's the fact that this guy is talking crap and it's getting to Bray. I think Bray's used to people being scared, and this guy's not scared. And then he's trying to change, but at the same time, he doesn't like being disrespected. He's got an ego. He's a cult leader. I think the reason why he broke so easily and there ain't that much of a struggle is because there wasn't much to keep him together in the first place. He's still fragile.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do the work, but then he realizes to actually do the work is quite hard. Yeah. Or habits die hard.
It's tricky.
Mm.
I would, like, again, this is all just fantasy booking at this point,
mm-hmm.
but like, if they'd gone in and done everything differently, like if not everything, but if they had done things differently and if they had had a match without Mountain Dew involved and crap,
yeah.
If they just had a straight singles match,
right.
And LA Knight faced a regular Bray Wyatt as we saw when he came back,
mm-hmm.
and Bray Wyatt's first instinct was to be like, okay, you've disrespected me. I'm going to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Not I'm going to torture you, murder you, leave you in debris, whatever. But if there was that first effort made to be like, okay, we're going to settle this, but we're going to settle this like athletes, like competitors,
right.
A normal person, I'm going to beat you in a professional wrestling match. I think that would have been enough for me to at least be like, and if that doesn't work, sure, then you go on to step two and you make it harder. And now he's trying, but maybe he gets beaten that first match.
Yeah.
And then it's oh, this is actually harder than I thought. Then you just go, okay, maybe it's easier if I just give in. And then the next match you do something sponsored by a soda, whatever. But I don't feel like there was that first step in that. We just went straight to, well, he's got to be crazy. So let's kind of fast forward to that a little bit.
I agree.
And fast forward, I say, having complained about them taking their sweet ass time doing this.
I don't.
That's a separate.
Again,
point.
It's one of those things we're probably going to debate later in the year, is whether or not they should have had two matches by now, and this is like the complete of the trilogy. I don't know, because at the same time, it's a new approach that we wrestling fans are not used to. I feel like because we're conditioned to, like, if me and you feud right now, it's got like, look at Rey Mysterio and Karrion Kross. It's not at a rumble. I'm shocked. For me, because of how long we're going to talk about it later, it's kind of like certain things you want it to be at a big stage. And for me, Royal Rumble is a great stage. San Antonio, Texas, LA Knight's first pay-per-view, PLE. That's it. First PLE, and then it's against Bray Wyatt. For me, it's a big thing. Again, we'll see if it pays off. I think after the Rumble, unequivocally, we can say whatever, it was bad or it was good, or if it's a one and done feud, which is weird to say because it's been 4 months of this feud. But in terms of matches between them, will it be one and done? Will they have a rematch Elimination Chamber? I don't know, as Lex Luger would say.
I don't know.
I don't know.
These t-shirts are too tight too, Billy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We will get into the rest of our SmackDown review because there was a lot of Bloodline stuff and a lot of tournament matches on this show. That's about all there was on the show, in fact, those two things. But we start with the arrival of the Bloodline. And immediately, this show was on its storytelling game when it came to the Bloodline. Every Bloodline segment was excellent, and the first one is literally just the Bloodline arrives in two SUVs, and the Usos and Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn all get out of one, or whatever, and Roman Reigns gets out. Sami Zayn does the whole handshake bit. Yeah, they're doing this.
Yeah.
They're doing this with the Usos. They're doing their handshakes. Sami Zayn offers Roman Reigns a fist bump. Roman Reigns doesn't do it. Walks by, and Sami Zayn looks sad. He's not down with this. He's worried. And then we cut into our first match, the best match of this show by a country mile, that being the Viking Raiders against Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, the Banger Bros. this match was everything that I wanted it to be. A great Hoss fight.
Slapping meat. Ah!
I felt so bad for old Eric, old Ray Rowe getting the... I feel bad anytime I see somebody take the Sheamus clubbing chest blows. It looks like the worst thing in wrestling for me to take, honestly. I would take Walter's chop. I would get slammed into, like, tacks before I would do that.
You hear that, guys? You hear that?
I don't want to take Sheamus's clubbing blow.
No.
That just sucks.
Beats of the Baron.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't want to do that. But anyway... There were a couple of really surreal moments in this match.
Right.
I thought Drew McIntyre hitting I think it was Hanson with a Michinoku driver was just like, well, that's neat. There's some PWG nonsense, you know, with these two guys, these two big guys on a WWE TV show. Michael Cole also gave a shout out to Jay Briscoe and the whole Briscoe family, of course, after Jay Briscoe's tragic passing this week, which I thought was a very classy move from WWE. And despite Valhalla's interference in this match, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus were able to pull off the win. Sheamus hit the brogue kick, got the win. I was a little bit surprised, like not that surprised, but these two I would probably have put in the finals of this tournament.
I'm with you.
I don't see any other combination of these teams that could pull off a bigger or better match than this one.
I agree.
Might do Brawling Brutes and Banger Bros for some Sheamus, you know, and his cronies interactions and whatnot.
Mm.
But I would not be surprised at all if this match was the highlight of the tournament.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it was a big mistake to put them together in the first round for the simple fact that last year WWE did a lot of work to rehab the Viking Raiders, devoted a lot of time doing promos, brought back Sarah Logan, and then for them to lose in the first round is a big mistake. I mean, they took out New Day. They did all the steps in order to make him credible as a threat, and then it's just gone in one match. So I'm with you. I would have saved it. The caveat should have been Banger Bros, yeah, you get a number contendership against the Uso, but you also get to potentially get Viking Raiders in the final. You shouldn't give it to him quickly. You need to give him that incentive to run roughshod through the entire tag division. So great performance from the Viking Raiders. It's unfortunate they're now, you know, going to go to catering for the next few weeks.
It'll be interesting. Like, yeah, because for months we've looked at the Viking Raiders and just said, okay, they don't want to give them the tag title shot because then you have to beat them, you know, and it's not time to beat them, and they can just feud with other people and continue to rack up wins, beat the New Day, beat Hit Row, beat whoever.
Yeah.
And then eventually you can have them face the Usos and it all works.
Mm.
That doesn't really work now, does it? When you just kind of then have them lose to two other guys. And I think you could have them lose if it is in the finals and it's big and built up to and everything. But now it is sort of like, well, okay.
Because the positive is...
You go out in the first round. Who do you think you are? The Maple Leafs?
Exactly. That's a hockey reference. I do not get Bad News Hockey. There you go. A for effort for Sat. But yeah, what I was about to say is the only positive I can grasp about any of the scenario is they lost to a main eventer, former WWE champions, two former world champions in Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, who are two volatile individuals who could cost themselves the match easily. But that's the only positive I can take out of it. If they lost to, like, I don't know, Maximum Male Models, who I love and should actually get a victory one day, then I would have been like riotous and tip over this table.
Yeah, I don't think they're dead in the water forever by any means. If they were going to lose to anyone in this tournament, it was going to be Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
Bingo.
I just would have had it later in the tournament.
100% agree. I'm with you. I think it was a mistake doing it so early, but we got this great match. But at the same time, would have been great in the finals.
Would have been. We then had the next Bloodline segment, that being Sami Zayn going and seeing Roman Reigns in his locker room. And Sami sits down and he's trying to say that it's fine, don't worry, everything's good. He asks Roman if everything is good with him, because he was like, that intro on in the parking lot was a little bit frosty. Just want to make sure that everything's good.
I could argue that was flashback to the Shield. So anytime you do that to Roman, he'd be like, I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that fist bump. I'm just saying it could have been that. Couldn't be PTSD for Roman at all.
Oh, like, yeah.
Last time I did that, I got hit in the chair in the back. So he may not know. It could be like evoking all kinds of paranoid feelings into Roman. Oh, this guy wants to be close to me. Oh, fist bumps. Oh, who did that to me last time? Yeah, Seth.
Yeah. And so Roman just wants Sammy to give it to him straight. He's like, just tell me the truth. Just give it to me straight. And Sammy says, like, okay, well, yeah, because he was like, I saw your face on the show last week, because Roman watches SmackDown. He watches the
when
show.
When he wants to.
When he wants to.
When he asks him, tell me the truth. That means he, you know, is this is what we talked about.
It's like Kevin Owens thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, why didn't Jay or Jimmy Uso say, watch the clip? You know what I'm saying? Okay, but yeah. As you
but
say,
anywho.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's funny. The camera in the show exists as a show half the time, whenever they wanted to, basically. But Roman Reigns says that he saw Sami Zayn's look last week and just wants him to tell him the truth. What's going on? And Sami Zayn says, well, I didn't know that the Usos were going to be out there. And, you know, I really wanted to pull my weight around here. And Kevin just keeps saying that, you know, the bloodline's using me. And I just felt a little... And he stops. He's like, it's fine. Because he knows that he's going down a path.
Mm.
He's going down the wrong path here. And Roman Reigns just says, get out. And it's like, oh, he's angry now. Like, calm Roman Reigns is like, no. You're out of line now, and you're going to get out of my face. You're going to get out of my sight. And in the meantime, the whole, like, every moment that Sami Zayn's talking, you got Paul Heyman in the background. He's just doing this. He's doing superb background acting, which is always one of my favorite things about this story, is just the subtle storytelling from the other characters that don't necessarily have to be speaking at the time, but you still see how they're feeling. It's brilliant stuff.
Visual storytelling at its best.
I love it. It's absolutely excellent. I wish they did it more often, but it is all over this storyline. Fantastic. And Sami is told to leave. Roman Reigns is like, since when did the tribal chief have to run all his plans by the honorary Ooze? When did that happen?
That made sense. You know,
when did that happen? Get out. Just get out. And he leaves.
Mm.
And he's pissed. And Sammy's like, oh no, I have done goofed. And again, you can kind of see perspectives here. It's the thing with, like, a lot of the time with WWE storytelling, you can't justify the actions or the thoughts of a lot of characters just because from a storytelling perspective, they just don't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this storyline has been so excellent because even though Roman Reigns is the villain and is wrong, you can still justify his thoughts and actions within his own character.
Yeah, I loved it.
Mwah! It's brilliant.
He wasn't psychopathic for the sake of being psychopathic. It's kind of true. Roman hasn't been a douchebag towards Sammy. He's actually been nice to him, gave him a t-shirt, ate popcorn with him. So if you think about it, he did all these nice things with him, and then he's like, this guy's still not happy. It's like Sammy's neuroticness just gets in the way of things. And mm-hmm. I do feel like, yeah, we're meant to be cheering because Sammy's a protagonist in this story. Roman's the villain, you know, he's the antagonist in the story. But I can't help but see things from the villain point of view. He's right. I just want you to love me the way I love you, which even though that's a lie, because he's incapable of loving. The only thing he loves is those belts and the accolades that comes with it. But at the same time, I do appreciate that they've humanized the story or Roman's warped mind. But again, it's also the case because Roman Reigns, how much of it is sincere now? How much of it is manipulation? Right.
That to me was this whole thing, was I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, I can understand your thought process at face value,
mm-hmm.
but I can also understand all of this if you do not mean a single word of it and it is all just manipulation. Mm-hmm. Because we saw last week, we saw Paul Heyman go and talk to Sammy and say, Roman wants you to do this by yourself and give him that confidence and everything. And then to take that away, you can totally understand Sammy's point of view because he's like, I'm being told one thing and shown another. I just want that to make sense. I just, you know.
Roman said, you're not meant to think. I tell you, if I tell you to jump, you say, how high? That's the thing we talked about last week, and I watched people comment. Is like, Roman did not want Sammy to win because if Sammy won, Sammy would be insufferable. He'd have been like, you see that because I won. And then also, there's also the part of Roman that goes, can I really beat Kevin Owens? Because Roman Reigns, as the tribal chief, hasn't beaten Kevin Owens clean by himself without some sort of shenanigans and help. While Sami Zayn has beaten Kevin Owens before, Roman hasn't done it clean as the tribal chief. And he didn't want the first victory over Kevin Owens clean or The first defeat has to come from Roman, not Sami. So Sami's meant to weaken Roman. I mean, meant to weaken Kevin Owens, not beat him. That's the thing, because Sami Zayn is meant to be the underling. Because Sami wins, Sami will be like, you see this? I'm the guy. I'm the man. So Roman has to humble him and be like, you walk behind me, not in front of me. But Sami Zayn, Saminess, or Zayness,
Zaniness.
Is what's ruining it, because Sami is incapable deep down of taking orders. He wants to, he thinks he can, but there's a part inside of him that likes to, the master strategist. Where does that come from? You can't be a master strategist if you're following someone's orders. See, the real Sami is actually battling as well. There's like a duality going on as well.
Oh, it's so good. And we'll get into more of this as we get on with the episode, because this does not stop here. Not even close. I love this story. Raquel Rodriguez announces her entry into the Royal Rumble with another bad promo. I don't know what it is about the scripting or delivery of her promos, but they're worse than a lot of people.
No, she's just a bad baby face. Trust me. You turn her heel and she's snarling again. Wrong,
but the dialogue in these things is terrible.
It's great. No, it's bad, but I find it bad humorous. I enjoy it because you can tell I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble, smiley face.
Yeah, not a fan. We then had our next tournament match, that being Hit Row against Los Lotharios. And this was interesting. This was a curious match. It was not long at all, as was the case with basically the rest of the matches on this show, unfortunately. Mm. I think the longest match after the opener went like 5 minutes, something like that. It wasn't a night for the wrestling part, which is a shame because there were a lot of matches. But this one was very short. Michael Cole was really giving it to Top Dollar on commentary in this match. He was like, oh, I wouldn't call Hit Row high flyers. Really making a point of you know, needling Top Dollar about the dive that got messed up a few weeks ago. And then Top Dollar goes outside the ring and he gives it back to Michael Cole. He's like, yeah, keep running your mouth. Keep running your mouth. And Michael Cole's like, whoa, like what's happening here? Well, Lotharios hit stereo dives. B-Fab trips up Humberto as he's getting back in the ring. She holds his leg. And then Ashante just rolls him up, gets three. And everyone's like, what? Boo. That can't do that. Boo. And then just to really hit it home, Top Dollar goes over and tears up a fan sign. So by all accounts, it appears that Hit Row are now heels.
Yes, which we thought was established last week. But the only thing it was for me, it was bizarre. It was heel versus heel. If you think about it, Los Lotharios are not baby faces. And I guess it was a continuation of that little mini feud they had when Hit Row first came back. So, but at the same time, this match reminded me, like I needed reminding, Los Lotharios are underrated as a tag team. Please don't treat them like the Colognes, you know, Primo Epico. Like, as in, don't forget them, because they got repackaged as like handsome ladies' man, and then they kind of dropped doing segments and kiss cams with them, and then now it's just a tag team. And then eventually, tag teams like this, they'll get another repackaging, and I don't want them repackaged again. I think they got the right gimmick, just need to be pushed more. They're a great team. It's a shame that they lost, but at the same time, Hit Row is a Triple H investment which needs to pay off. So I understand why they won. For me, it was two teams that I like and one that I haven't seen in a while and I want them to do well. And there's another team that come back and their run hasn't gone so well, and then now heels, you have to establish them. There's other babyface tag teams they could have had or put together. I don't know, Madcap is eating, you know, catering. He could have teamed up with someone for this match.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't Los Lotharios' night. This wasn't the show that was dedicated to them in any way. So, like, I get it. It's tough, but
push them, because yeah. I don't want any Los Matadores appearance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm worried for them because I like the team. I like the charisma. I like the chemistry they have as a team. Just give them a female manager to be the mouthpiece if that's the problem. You know what's you know what's the old manager of Los Clothes? Was it Rosie?
I think it was Rosa Mendez.
Mendez. What's she doing nowadays? I don't know. Get someone out of from developmental to be their manager, because I think that's probably be the thing to rejuvenate them. WWE 101. If a tag team's flagging, give them a new manager and then push. Right.
Yeah. Also worth mentioning that the whole LA Knight Return of the Firefly Funhouse thing took place just before this match. But we move. Braun Strowman declares for the Royal Rumble, and then Charlotte Flair makes her way out for a promo. I hope you enjoy this promo, because this is the only women that you're getting on this show. Charlotte Flair comes out. She calls out Sonya, and They wait a little bit, and then Sonya comes out, says that Charlotte is entitled, and she's arrogant, and nobody ever treats her like a star when she comes through, but she is a star. And Charlotte says that Sonya is a star. She's always told her that she's a star, but wonders why she's so arrogant and entitled that she thinks that she can hop the line and get another title match when she's already beat her.
Did she look in the mirror when she said that? But anyway, I just want to say that.
Yeah.
So, again, this is filler.
Yeah.
The Royal Rumble. Yeah. The Royal Rumble, it's a weird feud, mini feud placement when you got the Royal Rumble coming up, because don't put Charlotte in the Rumble again. Do you know what I mean? Because they've done that before as champion. Charlotte needs a credible opponent, because at the moment, the SmackDown Women's Division, there's a lot of losers, as in they haven't done the work with, outside of the core women that gets featured, there's other women like Sonya Deville who hasn't really had a convincing win in a feud in a long time, and Charlotte already beat her. So it's kind of like a backwards booking of like, okay, she lost convincingly in the first time, but we're going to drag out this feud. But why? Unless they do this a stupid thing where Charlotte has to tie her hand behind her back in the Royal Rumble match against Sonya. There's no reason for us to see this feud, because truth to be told, Sonya hasn't earned the opportunity.
Yeah.
She's right in pointing out the hypocrisy in Charlotte's character, the babyface, but the person themselves hasn't been booked to be a credible threat. So for me, it's a waste of TV, because I know who's going to win and there's no point in this feud, if that makes sense. Yeah. I want Sonya to feud with someone else, then get back to Charlotte, if that makes sense. Do the groundwork. Is that they hopped her in front of the queue, because rumors that Ronda Rousey's not going to be the Rumble. There's probably the storylines they had planned for the Rumble, which got scrapped. But for me, I'm not feeling this. Every time I see them talk or interact, it screams, filler, yeah. Put back Raquel. Even though Raquel's in the Rumble, I would have more liked to see Raquel versus Charlotte, and Raquel be like, hey, you stole my spot. There's a ready-made storyline. You don't have to like make stuff up.
Yeah, there are some stuff there that they could do that I don't know would be great, but would be better than what we've had. But it also requires more like work to have been done previously. Like, if they knew that they were going to have Charlotte come in and be champion around this time,
right?
Why would you not build up a number of credible challengers that would make for decent matches? Like, why couldn't we have been seeing Emma winning matches on TV since she's come back?
Bingo.
Just to set something up for. I know that Emma's not going to beat Charlotte, but I would be more interested in seeing a match between Emma and Charlotte. And if Emma had won a bunch of matches leading up to that, I think that would have been pretty neat. Same thing with, like, again, if Shayna had been winning matches throughout the fall, why are we not getting a Charlotte and Shayna type match? And again, it's early. We'll probably get that as we go on. But as we're sitting here now, none of the women on SmackDown have any sort of win record that would justify them getting a title shot. And now, when you don't have Ronda Rousey around to be the top woman on SmackDown, there's a huge void of credible challengers.
Never fear. There's a vignette coming up that can solve all our issues.
Jesus Christ. All right. Roman Reigns is then getting counsel from his wise man in the next excellent segment on this show. And Heyman says that he never liked Sammy, but with the Royal Rumble coming up and him facing Kevin Owens of all people, would it not make more sense to have Sami Zayn in the castle pissing out than outside the castle pissing in? And Roman thinks about it. He just thinks. But I love this for a completely different reason, because we so rarely at this point get to actually see what Paul Heyman is thinking about everything.
Bingo.
Like, getting the wise man's input on a show like this is so valuable, because it's another perspective. It's like, we don't need to hear from like Solo Sikoa. You know, we don't need to hear from Jimmy Uso all the time, only when it's appropriate. And I think that helps. It eliminates so much of the chatter that could clog up a segment or a storyline like this. And you have Paul Heyman now, when it is thematically appropriate, just being like, okay, I know you're upset. He talks to him with very hushed tones, like, okay, Travis, we're gonna calm down. Okay. You're going to just listen. Would it not make more sense to do it this way? Trying to talk Roman off of this ledge of being pissed off at Sami Zayn and just telling him, maybe you're wrong. Maybe there's a better way. But seeing Paul Heyman as the one in this setting just offers another point of view mm-hmm. that makes this whole storyline even more layered. Oh, it's freaking good, isn't it?
Like you said, I think because we rarely see Paul Heyman's point of view, he's always playing the peacemaker or reacting to situations. So it's kind of like, we finally know he's not a huge fan of Sami Zayn or Shmooly, as he likes to call him. But at the same time, he recognizes what Sami brings to the table, especially in this feud. Because if you think about it, they more or less brought him in during the Kevin Owens feud. That's mm-hmm. when they found him the most valuable. So it's kind of like, do not undo all the work that you've put into the Sami Zayn project when we're so close to getting what we want, which is Kevin Owens out of our lives. Mm-hmm. And rarely do we ever see behind the scenes them plotting. Because mm-hmm. usually when they plot, it's, you know, they're driving off somewhere. Solo's there. Oh, Solo's always there. But this is the first time where we the camera, we get to see how Paul operates, which is why I've always known is Roman Reigns is a hothead. Paul Heyman's to talk him off a ledge. Mm-hmm. And we saw that right now.
Oh, it's so good. Mm. I really, really enjoy this. And it's not the end either, because there's more to come. Ooh, I had another thing to say about this, and I can't remember what it was, but it was so good. Love this segment.
If you remember, please do a set and just upend everything.
Boom! Right into the point that yeah. I was going to make. After all that, we get... Lacey Evans is coming back.
Operation Cobra Clutch. Yes. Now we know what's going to happen now, ladies and gentlemen. Possibly an elimination chamber. Operation Cobra Clutch. Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair. Everyone's two favorite blonde women wrestling each other like they were meant to before Lacey got pregnant and off our television screen. This is great.
Boy, I remember when Lacey Evans got pregnant and was off TV for a year. That was fun. Legado del Fantasma then took on Maximum Male Models in another match that did not go very long. This one was like just kind of a match. Like it was a match, but it was really short. Like the first one had a heel turn and it had interference and there was, you know, there were some layers to it, but it was very short. This was just a very short match. And it was like Maximum Male Models aren't winning matches around here.
They never win matches. Triple H, we get it. It's a Vince McMahon project. You want nothing to do with it. But they're entertaining. Watch the vignettes on YouTube. They're quite funny. They remind me of the Fashion Police.
I was just going to say they're the Fashion Police. Yeah.
Fashion Files, baby. Like Maxine Dupri has grown into her role. They schmucks. If you like Zoolander, they got Zoolander humor. They've got potential to get over as baby faces if you push them. Don't treat them like Mean Street Posse 2023. They ain't got more to offer. Mace is a big guy. He's big. Use him as a big guy. Mansoir.
I was just gonna see how long this was gonna go. Legado got the win with their Enziguri side Russian leg sweep combo, and also Zelina Vega is gonna be in the Royal Rumble. That was all that there was to note with this match. And then we've got another Bloodline segment, because these are the best things on this show. Sami Zayn, well, at some point here, Paul Heyman tells Sami Zayn that Roman Reigns wants to speak with him. That's all that segment was. Sami Zayn then goes to see Roman, and Roman apologizes for lashing out, like, that's on me, that's on me. All Sami wants is good communication. Not the most important part of any relationship is good communication, so I'm told. Sami, like, immediately perks up, and he's like, yeah, all is well again. Yeah, okay. Same page. Yeah, we're good. Bloodline, everything. Thumbs up. Sami says that he'll do anything to put the Bloodline first. Anything that Roman ever needs, all he has to do is ask. Roman says, all right, I need you to go and get the Usos, who I don't know why they were at the show. They were never involved in really anything. They weren't even invited to go out for the contract signing by Roman, but regardless, they were just there to hang out, I suppose. Fair enough. He says, go get the Usos, go get the SUVs prepped, so that as soon as this contract signing is done, we can cut. We can get out of here. And Sammy's like, say no more. I got this. No problem whatsoever. And Roman Reigns gives him the fist bump. This is Sammy. He's so happy. And again, this goes back to how much of any of this is genuine and how much of all this is manipulation. Because I'll go right into the main event segment because it came right next.
Oh, before you go into the main event segment, there's a huge line that was mentioned in that. When Roman said he wants the same amount of love and respect that he gives, he wants it back. He wants the same. So in Roman's mind, so that was a key thing, because me and you, when I was watching, I was like, that line. Roman's saying like, all I want is for someone like the same love and respect that I give. I want that back as well. Poor Roman. In Roman's mind, he has given Sami everything. Compared to Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso, he's given a lot. And then Sami fell for it. Oh, no. We love you. Come on. You're the best. You know, like Roman knew saying that line, it was just a guilt trip Sami even more to make him think that he's being ungrateful. Because Roman apologized, but he still used a line in my mind that undid all his apology. Because in his mind, you don't love me the way I love you or perceived to love you.
He's such a great mob boss. He is. And I don't know how much of any of this is genuine. I would reckon none of it.
Zero.
This man is the master manipulator for this generation of wrestling. And it is fantastic to see. I love thinking about what we could have seen like last week with the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing, where, again, you talk about the whole theory of Roman Reigns not wanting Sami to get a big head and everything. And you see why Roman Reigns gets so frustrated with Sami's reaction to that, because you look at the possible outcomes of the match last week. Sami wins, and then all of a sudden, Sami gets a big head. And he's like, oh, did you see what I just did? And now there's added pressure on Roman to also be able to do what Sami just did, potentially.
Oh, yes.
Sami loses. That's bad. That's disappointment. You don't want the bloodline looking weak and everything. So then you do what you think is best and just go out there and beat up Kevin Owens at the end of the match. And still, you're having to hear this chatter in your ear of someone not being grateful, someone not going along with the plan and just being like, I just want some peace. I just want this problem to be dealt with. And now you're being a problem because I have to hear it from you.
Imagine if Sami did win, how unbearable it'll be. He's like, hey, I can show you how to beat him. He's the kind of guy to be like, so this is the way. And you'll be like, you want to teach the tribal chief how to beat Kevin Owens? So there's a reason why Roman did what he did. Because even in this episode, you see the Sami, he is growing his spine back. He is thinking for himself again. He, you know, there's voices in his head. The fact that he said that, Kevin said, you're using me. And then and we're finally hearing what Sami, like Kevin Owens' words are finally getting through to Sami. We're getting close to him actually seeing the light. There's a little flicker at the end of the tunnel.
I'm so excited for this Royal Rumble match. And this, of course, leads into our main event segment. That being the contract signing for Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. And they just skipped the whole contract signing part, went straight to the brawl, and sure, save time. I'm with it.
Yeah,
down.
Dug it.
Cut right to the action. Because Roman Reigns comes out, and he sits at the end of the table, because he's the head of the table, which I thought was a brilliant little piece of business. It was maybe a little telegraphed by the fact that they put the table sideways, so he could do that and still not be obscured by the hard camera and everything, but it's fine, doesn't matter. I thought it was really cool staging for the purposes of the story that they're telling. And he puts his feet up, got some nice J's on, and then Kevin Owens does not come out down the ramp. He just rushes the ring from the crowd.
No music or nothing.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just attacks Solo Sikoa, attacks Roman, hits a stunner. The Usos come out. He super kicks both the Usos, and then he puts Roman through the table with the pop-up power bomb. And through all this, right at the end, Kevin grabs the contract from Paul Heyman. He signs it. And that's when Sami comes out. And Sami comes down. He gets on the apron. He looks at him. And Kevin tosses the contract to him. And that's the end of the show. And I don't know this because I'm not in the room. But I can just imagine next week Roman's going to be like, Sami, where were you? And he's going to be like, yeah, I was just doing what you told me to do. I was trying to get the SUVs and blah, blah. He's like, no, I got attacked. You're the one that's supposed to be there to take the bullet for me, and you weren't there. putting the blame on Sammy, making Sammy feel conflicted. They could go a totally different direction, they watching this segment and getting excited for segments that are coming a week from now at the Rumble, week after that. I'm excited about every possible scenario that could come from this show.
Michael Cole actually did a good, I loved how he yelped when Kevin Owens did the pop-up powerbomb. That's the kind of energy you need. And it's times like this, I wish we had Bobby Heenan. Where was he? Whose side is he on? You know, that kind of adds to the energy, or even JR, you know, classic JR calls, because that was that kind of energy, that crescendo, that moment that, you know, is taking the feud to the next level. Because Monday is Raw 30. Mm-hmm. There's going to be everybody from the Bloodlines to acknowledge him. So I think they're going to save the Sammy portion of the storyline for SmackDown, because Raw is more of the acknowledgement ceremony. It'll be funny if Sammy goes like, oh, can I speak to you, you know, Tribal Chief? Not now, I'm busy because I'm getting ready to do this. We'll speak on SmackDown or whatever. It'll be great to see that. Mm-hmm. Or he's in charge again, all the lay. I can see Sammy just giving all the lace to all like that, you know, all the head shriekers and the wild Samoans, you know, all the obscure members of the Bloodline. Could we see Jacob Fatu? Who knows?
We'll see. But that pretty much caps off SmackDown. And it was the tag team match and Bloodline show. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get anything out of the tag team matches other than the first one. The first one on the show was the best match on the show by a mile.
Right.
If you were into the return of the Firefly Funhouse, you had that as well as a highlight or major talking point of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But the real meat of the show was the thread stitching everything together of the Bloodline and Sami Zayn, as it always is.
Right.
Roman Reigns being on this show, interacting with Sami Zayn, is must-see television.
I
love the storyline and talking about it, because we could just skip over this nonsense wrestling match that we have to watch
right.
with all these tag team whatevers. If you just watch the Bloodline clips and the opening tag match, this is a fantastic show.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's a lot of nonsense to kind of sift through. I mean, in my edited review, I gave this like a 3 out of 5 just because so much of the middle of that show was nothing.
I agree.
But the Bloodline stuff on this show was excellent.
I'm still shocked there was no women's match. Don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like there's a lot going on in terms of creative. But anyway.
There could well be. I mean.
No women?
No women on this show.
Sounds like someone that used to run it used to. Anyway, not going to go there. Okay.
Yeah. But that will bring our review of SmackDown to a close. But before we get out of here, we have some very special shout-outs to give. That being our Pledge Hammers, our $25 and above Pledge Hammers over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. If you go over there, you can get your own custom wrestling nickname read out on a show like this. And if you subscribe now, there are a ton of bonus content that you can get available only at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. You can get the full uncut version of Survival Series. We put out an extra podcast every single week, that being WrestleTalk Extra, where we review a random wrestling paper. Not random, it's voted on by you. You can have your votes read out.
Still random.
This year, it's Royal Rumble 2005, the knees Royal Rumble, where Vince McMahon's knees exploded. So you might want to go over there and check that out, because it's a very entertaining show. It's behind the scenes podcast. There's After Dark. Loads of fun stuff, so make sure you go over there. But, of course, if you subscribe to the $25 and above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname read out on a show just like this. So I still don't know if the Hall of Fame music works on a recording, so I'm going to hit that just in case. And a big shout out to the incredible Tarzo.
Yeah. Keep rolling, the Rick Peck.
Yeah. Tony Jabroni.
Yeah. The freak out, Trey Gully.
Yeah. Vincent Shaw Loki Garcia.
Yeah. Vito Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yeah. Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor.
Yeah. Thomas, the prize hooker. Solorzano. We put a pronunciation in there. I just saw at the end. See, Sack can't read.
First try. And also, as this is the final set of shout outs for the month of January, we of course want to give a big shout out to our wonderful moderation team. They are the ones that keep this ship going, and they do not get nearly enough credit. So a big shout out to Andy.
A shout out to my brother, Chris.
Yeah. A shout out to Jalen.
My brother John.
Our brother Les.
My brother Rob.
Yeah. Shout out to Paul.
And of course, the mother of all mods, Jenna. Mwah, we love you.
And a shout out to Sean. Thank you very much for your continued help and support. We could not do this without you mods. And a big shout out to all of our $25 and above pledge hammers. Again, go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk. The only better time to do it today was yesterday, but the second best time, right now. So make sure you do that. And I thank you once again, Sat, for joining me.
Thank you, brother. House of the Black Mask. You better sing at the Royal Rumble watch along party, because he's going to win the championship, the first championship of this group. He's a former champion. He's been an LIW man, but his House of the Black Mask is a new group. We're going to get over. If you come in and you want to be part of House of the Black Mask, you will. Better wear a black hoodie and a black beanie or a black cap. Everything black, okay?
Black, black, black.
Black, 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 black. Black, black, black. Black is the new black.
And you know what else is black? The what? Strap for that championship. Ooh. And I'm taking it back, Luke Owen.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to be the Jam That Champion.
He's going to be champion.
Once and forevermore.
You're forever champion.
Until then, are the House of the Black Mask. Yeah. We'll see you next week. Jam That Jam.
Jam it!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.